Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We have an infrastructure that's been here a long time. We have water mains in this city that are 150 years old. So that's one of our problems in this city. I don't think there's any reason to worry. I think that you see that these pipes generally perform fine.
Well, at least one of them didn't perform fine yesterday. But before yesterday's explosion, did you spend much time thinking at all about the different pipes and cables down there that keep the city supplied with heat, power, telephone, television, including the system of steam pipes? According to AP, New York's is the largest such system in the country, dating from 1882, although none of the pipes still in use are quite that old. Joining me now to talk about New York's steam system, including this 83-year-old pipe, is Kate Asher. Some of you may remember her from her last visit to the show to talk about her fascinating book, The Works, Anatomy of a City, all about the unseen or maybe just unnoticed systems that keep New York running, at least most of the time. Welcome back, Kate Asher. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll mention that you wanted us to make clear that you don't work for the city, though you have worked for the Port Authority and the Economic Development Corporation in the past. And you aren't an engineer, but you did gather all this information about the parts that keep the city functioning, right?
That's exactly right.
So why steam pipes?
I'm sorry?
Why do we have steam pipes?
Well, we have steam pipes to support this pretty amazing steam system that basically takes the place of boilers and all kinds of other infrastructure that would be necessary to provide heat to lots of tall buildings in New York.
When you say takes the place of boilers, if I have steam heat in my building, that doesn't come from a boiler in the basement?
Well, it depends what building you're in. If you're in a building that's taking steam from the centralized steam system, which produces it somewhere else, it's just coming into your building on a pipe and coming up into your apartment through a series of pipes within the building. So you don't have energy being produced in the basement of your building if you're on the centralized New York City steam system.
How do you know if a building is or isn't?
Well, for one thing, if you see oil trucks delivering oil into your building to provide fuel for a boiler, you're probably not on it. But much of the city's tallest buildings are on it, particularly below 96th Street, where the steam system is densest.
And from the map in your book, it looks like these pipes are concentrated in Midtown, where, of course, this took place, and in Lower Manhattan. Is that because that's where the skyscrapers are?
That's exactly right. If you think about all the different apartments and offices that are in tall buildings, imagine how much by way of capacity you'd have to have in boilers in the basement to provide heat to each of those units. It makes much more sense when you have a tall building to provide it centrally. In smaller buildings, it may not make as much sense because you only have a few apartments. So you can have a boiler, and one boiler will take care of however much square footage. When you've got a tall building, you'd have to have a huge factory in the basement to provide all the heat that's necessary for all the apartments and offices, and that's where the steam system really holds its own, in tall buildings where you've got an awful lot of space that needs to be heated at once.
We can take phone calls with anything you always wanted to know about the steam system but had no one to ask. You now have Kate Asher, author of The Works, Anatomy of the City, a fascinating book all about the city's infrastructure. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So those orange and white tubes that you sometimes see in Midtown with steam coming out are vents for the system.
They're not exactly vents for the system. That's they're a sort of variation on vents. What they are is to protect the fog that's coming up from the steam system from actually getting in people's and drivers' eyes. But the fog itself is not steam coming off the system, that the steam that's going into the homes. What it is water might get into some of the area around the steam system, which is hot, and produce steam itself. That steam isn't being lost from the system. It's extra steam that's created just by water touching hot pipes, and it can come up to the surface of the roadway. And what you don't want is that to go in people's eyes and to make drivers confused about where they are on a street. So the vents help lift it above the level of a driver's eyes or a pedestrian's eyes.
Are the occasional manhole cover explosions caused by the steam system?
There are manhole, there have been isolated incidents of explosions from the steam system, but there are manholes for a variety of systems that are under New York, which we can talk about another time. Some of them are steam. There's probably about 1,200 manholes throughout the system that actually are providing access to the steam system, but there's manholes that cover the water system and other sorts of things as well.
Let's take a phone call. Here's Charlie in Weston, Connecticut, wondering about the steam of Manhattan. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning. Very quick question. Why are they generating steam for heat in the middle of July?
Great question.
Well, steam is not the just a source of heat. It's a source of other types of uses as well. If you've ever been into any dry cleaners in Manhattan, particularly in Midtown and Lower Manhattan, much of the steam that dry cleaners use, and they use it year-round, comes from the centralized steam system. And they steam everything at the dry cleaners. They clean with it. They steam with it. They remove stains with it. And that is centrally piped into those year-round. Steam is also used for air conditioning, believe it or not. It's compressed, and you use chillers, and it is actually a fairly efficient way to produce air conditioning. And
it is. It doesn't sound efficient on its face to use steam to produce cold.
It doesn't sound efficient, but imagine how you'd produce cold anyway. You've got to really take, you know, you've got to put a lot of energy into it to produce cold air in any case. And this steam is coming off the electricity production system year-round. We're producing electricity, and steam is not only produced directly, but it's produced as a byproduct of the electricity production system with gas and coal-fired generators. And because we have the steam, it's a use it or lose it. You might as well use it, and it's there. So it is, in fact, fairly efficient to essentially recycle it and use it for these other purposes.
Your book does say it's primarily a seasonal business, the steam business, with the peak of demand obviously in the coldest months.
Correct, but obviously it's still being produced during the summer, both for air conditioning, dry cleaning. It's also used in hospitals for sterilizing instruments, and that happens again year-round.
Brian in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Yes, hi. Good morning. I'm just curious how often this is going to happen in the future, since if you put cold water on a steel hot pipe, you know, it's likely to expand and crack.
Now, the mayor did say that this was probably caused by cold water hitting the hot steam. At least that's the speculation, and that yesterday's rain may have contributed to it. Would that be a rare event for cold water or any rainwater to hit a hot steam pipe?
Yes, it would. I mean, these steam pipes are encased in some kind of insulation and often concrete to prevent water from affecting them. So it's a rare occasion when this happens. This is not the case where water is hitting these pipes every day.
So to the caller's question, can we expect more of this? I guess it hasn't happened very much. I think the last such explosion was in, 1989?
That's right. There was an explosion in Gramercy Park then. You know, it's a bit like when the electricity system goes down. Can we expect more of it? It is possible that this will happen again at some point. In fact, it probably will happen again. When it happens and where and how often it happens going forward compared to what's happened in the past, nobody knows.
Judith in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Kate Asher, author of The Works. Hi, Judith.
Hello. I was wondering regarding the explosion last night, if apartment buildings an avenue block away should worry about checking the dust on the windows, although Con Ed is saying, you know, the air is fine and everything.
This is not a question that I can address. This is, you know.
It's not an infrastructure question.
This is absolutely not an infrastructure question.
But let me ask you an infrastructure question about the asbestos. And what we are told by the city is that there were no signs of asbestos in the air monitoring, but there was asbestos in the solids from the explosion, meaning asbestos was used somewhere in this infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where and how?
Well, the older pipes, the ones that have not been replaced by steel, were very often coated in asbestos as a protection. They were really there to insulate them. So where you have the old cast iron pipes, it's very likely that they were coated and wrapped in asbestos. So it's not surprising that you found that material in the solids that came up after the explosion.
And this was an old pipe, which the mayor said dates from 1924, so it was made of cast iron?
I can't speak to that because I haven't actually heard what it was made of, but my guess is that it would be because those older pipes were made of cast iron and they were very often coated in asbestos to protect them.
And they changed to another kind of pipe at some point?
Steel.
And they don't need asbestos or some kind of coating for...
They do need insulation, but asbestos obviously is not used in newer pipes because at some point we realized that asbestos wasn't a great thing to coat our floors and our pipes in anymore and our walls.
Right. And this may be out of your bailiwick, but do you know if there was consideration of going around and removing the asbestos from the pipes or whether that would have been considered more of a health risk?
I think, you know, ConEd has a program of pipe replacement. I don't know how ambitious that capital program has been and how much they replace each year. That's really a question for them.
Yeah, because that would be one of my biggest questions is, you know, the mayor kind of wrote this off as, oh, well, you know, this was just from an old pipe that was there from 1924. So I wonder, well, why is there such an old pipe there? Don't they have some kind of systematic pipe replacement rotation, or is a pipe expected to last that long?
Well, think about all the old pipes that are in the ground in New York City. You've got sewer pipes, you've got electricity conducting pipes, you've got water pipes, you've got subway tunnels, and many of them were built over 100 years ago. So in terms of replacing, they do get replaced over time, but imagine the gridlock in this city if all of a sudden you closed it down to replace all of the old pipes and all of the systems that make this city work. It just takes time, and over time, all of the old pipes and all of those systems will be replaced. But, you know, we're talking decades and decades.
Barbara in Pleasantville, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I've been dying of curiosity ever since you started this to find out where the steam is generated, how it's generated, and how big the boiler is or whatever creates the steam. You were talking about how it's as big, would be as big as a factory if it were in the bottom of a tall building, but this is supplying a good deal of New York City.
Yeah. Are there steam generating plants, Kate?
There are about seven of them in New York. These are Con Edison plants. Con Ed produces them. Most of them are in Manhattan. There is one in Brooklyn. There's one in Queens. And that is where the steam is produced. Basically, the water is heated there in these boilers that are either, you know, supported by gas or fed by oil. And they are indeed huge. One of them is 9 stories high, the one at the 14th Street on the East River. So they are really a combined cooking facility that is huge and producing an enormous amount of steam.
Ted in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ted.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Is this system really cost effective now because of, you know, these people getting injured, the medical payouts, and just an old system? Is it cost effective?
Well, holding aside any injuries or any accidents, as a system, it's cost effective. It's been in existence for some time, and there are many users. In terms of the other incidental expenses, I really can't speak to that.
What are the alternatives? Is steam somewhat, I mean, you say in the book that New York steam system is in some ways a relic of a different age. Is it being replaced by newer technology over time?
New York steam system is still heavily relied on. I wouldn't really think of it in my mind as a relic. There are other centralized steam systems in the world as well. We obviously produce electricity and use electricity for heat in other places and oil for heat in other places. But New York runs on a combination of fuels. And steam is really one of them. If you remove the steam system, you know, overnight in New York, you would not have enough to go ahead and continue to power the systems you're continuing to power, and you would have buildings that essentially have no heat.
Pat in Mattawan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
My question is whether or not there is any excess steam that can be used to generate electricity and therefore cut down on carbon emissions.
Cut down on fossil fuels. But actually, isn't it fossil fuels, primarily oil, that's used to heat the water that creates the steam?
That is true. And then in addition, just to further complicate it, and I'm not an engineer, so I won't get too technical, the steam itself is used, again, to produce additional electricity. So there is, in fact, some kind of recycling going on where the steam is used to power turbines and is itself produced as a byproduct of direct production of electricity by oil and gas.
And this is a Con Ed system. Your book says today steam represents about 7% of Con Edison's revenues.
That's correct. The system was not initially Con Ed's because Con Ed didn't exist when it was built, but it did take over the company that had been operating it.
Is it more or less profitable, do you know, than other forms of energy distribution? Do they have incentive to maximize or minimize it that may or may not be in the public interest?
I can't really speak to that. I mean, that's something that Con Ed probably produces numbers on in their annual report. I'm just not that familiar with them.
How do they maintain the system?
How do they maintain it?
Uh-huh.
There's a series of engineers. There's a huge team. I mean, it's got a whole department that looks after it, and I'm sure they'll be talking about it in the days to come. But they've not only got a team of very qualified people, but they've also got various machines that snake their way through the pipes looking for cracks. They inspect the pipes regularly, and it's like any other operating business where you have people around the clock that are making sure that steam system is working just like the rest of the systems in the city.
Picture in the book makes it look like robots.
There is actually a robot that moves through the steam system, which actually inspects it, and when it finds a crack can actually weld it together in place so that you don't have to rip open the street, find the crack, and take a street out of service for 24 hours. So it's a very sophisticated little robot, even though the system itself and the pipe it may be moving through could be very old.
Did you ever see Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
Scorsese's film, right? The opening shots, the stylized images of steam spewing from the city streets around the taxi cab.
That's right. It very much, it's very evocative, and it's very New York in many ways, although we are not the only big city with a centralized steam system. I think sometimes we like to think so.
Very New York, as is this accident, which did take at least one life yesterday, and of course, tests still being done for any remaining hazards. We are told that the trains are running, at least the subways in Grand Central. Again, Kate Asher is the author of the fascinating book, The Works, Anatomy of a City, all about the city's infrastructure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.